This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sponsored by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motors, Ford, and Purdy Insurance. And we are here live in the Sunbury Motors studios here in Sunbury. I guess the biggest news of the day is, of course, I guess it happened while we weren't here on Saturday. I guess the biggest news since the weekend is the Steelers picked up Justin Fields to add to their quarterback room. I guess right at the end of the show Friday that the Steelers traded Kenny Pickett to the Eagles, and he's going to be the Eagles' backup quarterback, it sounds now. And now, for everything coming out of Pittsburgh this weekend, it sounds like that Russell Wilson is the starter and Justin Fields will be the backup. You know, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how they handle both those things. It sounds like they might be negotiating a little bit with Russell Wilson and have a chance to maybe sign Justin Fields to more of a long-term deal to see maybe if they can develop them. And I think, you know, I think the kind of the biggest part about this is just kind of it seems to be a change in philosophy for the Steelers. I think I was reading this weekend that it was only 2 or 3 weeks ago that they gave Kenny Pickett a full vote of confidence and that they were bringing somebody in to compete with him. And, you know, last week they brought Russell Wilson in and now Justin Fields, and Kenny Pickett won it out. And it's kind of interesting to see how this works out for the Steelers. Deontay Johnson's gone. They're obviously going to need at least one more receiver. It sounds like Mike Williams might be making a visit, but I think the Steelers are last on his list of visits, so he's going to have to get – if he's not blown away by an offer from his first two visits, he might not get out of Pittsburgh, because that's probably where the depth issues for the Steelers lie right now, that and the offensive line. And then, of course, the NCAA tournament brackets came out last night. Men-wise, the number one seeds are UConn, North Carolina, Houston, and Purdue. I think a lot of the controversy came at the bottom of the bracket.
Always does.
It does, but there were some bid stealers and some unhappy Big East people.
Well, here's the issue with what happened on bids, and it's very simple. There were five bids that were taken by teams that in an at-large setting were not going to get in. Five. When you only have 11 out of 32 number one seeds winning in tournaments, that becomes an issue. Well, that's what happened here. And you had five teams that won conference tournaments that weren't getting in. The Atlantic 10 was a good example of that. The Atlantic 10, right? They got Dayton in, but Duquesne? They're not getting in.
No.
Right? I mean, not getting in. Oregon, not getting in. Beat Colorado, got in. So that's the issue they ran into. So let's take the last 2 years combined. The last 2 years combined, you know how many times that happened where a team got in the tournament where they weren't going to get in unless they won the tournament? I'm talking about among those that would be considered in the at-large pool. I'm not talking about one-bid leagues. Three times in the last 2 years total. Total. Three times last 2 years total. This time it was 5 in 1 year. And that made a big difference. I mean, and my qualm would be with St. John's out and Virginia in. That's the one where I look at and go, no, that one didn't turn out the way I thought it should. Because I know they don't look at the final 12 games anymore or anything like that. I understand that. Right? So I get that part. But you look at the last Virginia down the stretch. Oh, my goodness. Not only not winning, but just don't look good doing it. I mean, they don't score. They're really a struggle, and they're also a struggle aesthetically. You sit there and you're like, oh, they are a hard team to watch. I realize Tony Bennett, it's not his job to sit there and sell tickets or viewership for the rest of us. I understand that. It's his job to come up with a way to win. That is the best way for them to win. I've got that. But when it comes to a tournament selection, no.
I was going to say this Virginia team's kind of like the worst of what they make fun of them for over the years.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And it's just really, they're just not, I don't know. This is not, it made no sense to me that the way they played, especially the last 3-4 weeks of the season. It just, the full body work, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Guess what? There's a reason you play the way you do down the stretch. That's why when you look, for example, at an Indiana State, I'd have picked Indiana State over Virginia. Now I realize that, you talk about quad one wins, and quad ones do come into play. And okay, so let me give you the significance of quad one and quad two wins. You know what quad one and quad two wins do to the committee? They tell them that you have the ability to beat teams in the field. That's the purpose of quad one and quad two. I don't think a lot of people realize that, but that's what it means to the committee. Do you have the ability to beat other teams in the field? And that's what's important about quad one and quad two wins. I want to say Indiana State might have one. But then you look at Oklahoma, for example, and Oklahoma didn't make it in. But Oklahoma had 16 quad one chances. You want to know what their record was in quad one? 4-12. Really? 4-12. That also tells a story, and it's not a positive one. Virginia, just so you know, Todd, Virginia has exactly as many quad one wins as Penn State. They each have two. That tells you everything. They have as many quad one wins as Penn State. And they're in.
Is this maybe that, the committee rated the ACC higher than many people outside or many media members did, I wonder, just because the ACC did not seem to be that strong this year, and that kind of, if they've only got two quad one wins out of the ACC, that kind of proves that.
Well, the ACC ended up with four teams in. Okay. Not a big number, but they ended up with four.
Well, they still had, and they had one of the bid steals too.
Yeah, they did, because of NC State.
Yeah.
NC State's going to be very interesting to watch because they had to really. Now, we all know that UConn is the other team that did the 5-5. All right. Well, in doing the 5-5, they ended up winning the national championship in 2011. Wow. But NC State had to fight their guts out to get in. And that's going to be something to take a look at once they get into the tournament. Now, let me give you underrated. Nobody's talked about it, but I found to be incredibly interesting. What makes Nebraska-Texas A&M intriguing as a side story?
It's the Trev Alberts Bowl.
Yep. Yep. And you know what? You're the first person I heard that picked up on it. I haven't heard anybody pick up on it.
Actually, I did see. The reason I knew that is somebody did mention it because it's the same in the women's tournament, too. Nebraska and Texas A&M are open. Somebody has a sense of humor.
Yeah. Crazy. It's crazy.
That just happened to work out like that.
Yeah. I always love when it. Well, Louisville's going to play Kentucky in the tournament. It just worked out that way. Really? It did? Oh, yeah, sure it did. Yeah. I bet it did. You could have put a bunch of things together before you did that one, but they didn't. So, but yeah, it's. By the way, the basketball transfer portal officially opened today.
I saw Peja Stojakovic's kid at Stanford is in it already.
Well, Stanford's coach Jared Haas is out.
Oh, I missed that.
Yep, he's out. So there you go. That's going to be, as always, interesting. It's going to be. There should be, in the end, I'd say 1,500 to 2,000 players in the portal. Now, that's across multiple divisions, but 1,500 to 2,000. It's a lot.
That kind of goes to your point of why everybody only goes to the coaches' convention for a day now.
Well, I brought that up to somebody. I said they can't go anymore. All right. We'll come back. More in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf online. SunburyMotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department. Routine difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at SunburyMotors.com. Okay. Today's lecture in class was about, and it's something I've been emphasizing over and over again, take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves. Over and over again. And what bothers me is I'm seeing so many mistakes in what we do in media today. And they're little things up to a point. For example, the great Harry Smith, whom I have immense respect for, pros pro, did a feature on Mike Gorman, who's finishing up his 43rd and final season as the voice of the Boston Celtics, the TV voice of the Boston Celtics. So awfulannouncing.com, a website, picks up the story. And one of the keys, and Mike and I have talked about this, but one of the links in our respective careers is Gil Santos. And as you know, Gil, I've considered to be the primary mentor of my career. I learned more from sitting next to him in 4 years than I could have learned in any classroom in my lifetime. And it turned out that in the story that Harry's telling, that Gil, it was the ability of Mike to somehow get to Gil through a security guard because of his flying experience when he was in the guard, that opened the door. He said, you know, that Gil would be the guy to talk to, and Gil opened up doors for him. Like, what do I do? How do I get into this? And it started him on the path. So this website, awfulannouncing.com, picks up the stories. I'm just reading. I already watched the piece with Harry, but I thought I'd just read the story. And they spelled Gil's name G-I-L-L, which is what you would think it would be. Well, that's not how Gil spelled his name. It was G-I-L. Now you're like, oh, come on, Steve. I'm sorry. This lack of precision and just floating through. I'm sorry. Okay? The job is to be right. The job is to not be sloppy. And now I'll give you another one. They're announcing the women's tournament last night. When the host of the show can't pronounce Albany, and I'm talking repeatedly, can't pronounce Albany. The host. What are you doing? And then laughs about it and says it's a southern thing. It's not a southern thing. It's like you just have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, it's this kind of, you don't deserve as a viewer or a reader that kind of sloppiness. These are little details, but there's only four regions, right? I'm glad you got Portland right. I mean, we actually had a situation on our radio network where Roger kept telling them over and over again, there's Lancaster, California, there's Lancaster, Texas, but here it's Lancaster. And it was a New Holland commercial out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. No, that's not how you pronounce it. Again, you know, the reason I keep emphasizing it to my class is, hey, look, I said, I'm trying to separate you from the sloppy because you'll get the job and the sloppy won't. But there's too much sloppiness right now in media, whether it's by the person writing it or the person editing it. Like, we don't take care of the little things anymore, Todd.
I cannot argue that point, but I guess my minor defense of that is there's barely any editors anymore.
But then edit yourself.
That is my weakness.
Do you want to know how long it takes to look up his name?
Well, as long as it takes to spell into your phone.
Yeah. I mean, guess what? It doesn't take long to check. It takes 12 seconds if the internet is okay that day, 8 seconds if it's really cooking. We couldn't find the 8 seconds to make sure we got it right. You're responsible for your own work.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at this half hour by NIL Game Changers. The ultimate destination for name, image, likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. What I'm trying to promote to the young people in the class, I mean, and this is why you're the one standing at the front. Like, hold yourself to a standard. Okay? And I told them, I said, you need to stop multitasking. I mean, that is not a badge of honor to multitask. But concentrate on what you're doing at the time. And that's what I was trying to tell them. I said, you can't sit there and be the jack of all trades and the master of none. I said, you need to concentrate on what you're doing in the moment. I mean, do you think I've been sitting here like the week of a Penn State football game or a Penn State basketball week with a couple of games where I'm working on the game coming up, or am I doing the show? When I'm here, I'm doing the show. I'll worry about the other stuff later. That's where you have to be organized. You have to take care of your time management and so forth. I told them in class, you can't be sitting there, doing your email on the computer when we're doing class. You should have done that before you came in. I said, how can you tell what I'm talking about? And there'll be somebody in there. I'll ask them. I said, so what did I just say? And then they look at me and go, I'm what? So then why are you sitting here? So don't waste your time. Don't waste my time. So you're not wasting my time, by the way. I said, because I get paid for the time no matter what. I said, but how are you going to get better? I mean, how are you going to get better not listening to somebody tell you how you might be able to do it right? I said, you can't. I said, you guys can't sit there and multitask. I said, because you're not good enough to do that. Just not. And that's how you end up sloppy. And guess what the audience does not deserve? What don't they deserve? They don't deserve sloppy. When they're tuning into you to watch, they don't deserve sloppy. There are other options where I'll give you an example. Let's talk about ESPN for a moment. He no longer works at ESPN, but I'll never forget Trey Wingo doing the NFL draft, and a lot of it he's doing it himself because of the circumstances. I think it was during the COVID draft, right? Where Roger Goodell was announcing them from his family room, his den, man cave, whatever. And he's seamlessly going from one to the other to the other. He obviously busted his backside, making sure he got everything right. He had a great, obviously the production staff did a great job of preparation, a lot of prep materials, a lot of information they could hand to him, so forth. But he seamlessly handled it all. Now, of course, he no longer works there. Right? Then you got this person that can't pronounce Albany right repeatedly. Right. Really? I mean, you didn't think it came up, like the names of the four regions didn't come up in like a bunch of meetings? I mean, come on. I sat there and went, I just shook my head and went, you've got to be kidding me. Really? You didn't think that was an important detail to get the city correct?
My first thought when you said the excuse was a southern thing was, isn't there an Albany, Georgia?
Yes, and it's a she, by the way.
Oh, okay.
All right, I haven't mentioned the person's name. It's just, but it's one of those where I brought it up in class today. And the reason I brought it up in class was as an example of, right, make sure you've got the T's crossed and the I's dotted. That's what your preparation is all about. I said, you will make mistakes. I said, there's no question you'll make mistakes. No question. I said, everybody makes mistakes, especially on live TV or live radio. You make mistakes. I said, but to make the same mistake repeatedly means you actually don't know. See, that was the problem with that. It happened over and over again. I'm sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. Like, again, you can excuse any mistake. It's a mistake. It's live TV. You slur it. You mispronounce it. You whatever, right? You know, I mean, have I made mistakes on games? Sure, you make mistakes on games in the moment and so forth. You know, the one I made this past season, everybody knows, is on the Curtis Jacobs strip of McCord and running it back for an apparent touchdown that got called back. Right? I said it was Daquan Hardy because where we were, I couldn't quite see the 3 and the 5 up there, and the replay thing is up at the top of the booth, and I couldn't look up to see it, so I made the mistake. All right, I made a mistake. All right. And that happens, but that's in a live moment. All right. This is one where, yes, it's a live moment, but you keep making the same mistake about something that has been drilled into you over and over again. You don't think they had a meeting and said, we're going to go to the Albany region first? You don't think it was brought up? Of course. And it's like, and I'm sitting there like, and they're laughing about it. I go, it's not funny. Right, that kind of lack of precision, right, that's not funny. That's sad. And I said to them, I said, I'm trying to make sure that, like, you understand you can separate yourselves from the pack by the ones that take care of little things, hold yourself to a standard, and do it right. As you suit the Greek filled out his bracket yet?
I don't believe so. I'll be honest, I haven't seen him today.
Okay, because normally he fills it out after the games.
Maybe that's how he was so good in the bowl poll.
He was 500 in the bowl poll, buddy. 500. And got caught. No, I was 30-10. My brother, no, you're 500. I got it right here. You're 21-21. I still think that one's funny. I still think that one's funny. Yeah. So let's take a look at the bracket. All right, and kind of go through. Okay. Does somebody wanted Ray Goss's phone number? Ray Goss is the play-by-play voice of Duquesne basketball. Ray has done the job for 55 seasons. 55 seasons. So I go all the way back 42 years ago with Ray in the Atlantic 10 days. Terrific guy, class act, everything. I am so happy for him today. Because he has the opportunity to do the NCAA tournament. And I'm just thrilled for Ray beyond words. 55 seasons. All right? And he's in the NCAA tournament. That's under the category of wow. And I'm just thrilled for him. Thrilled. And somebody wanted his number. But I'm just... I can't tell you how happy I am for him.
Did you see Dan Brandt is going to retire?
Is he? LeBron's coach?
Yeah, yeah. He said after... Must have going out on a high note.
Yeah. No, I mean, and for the people who don't realize, Keith Denbrot, the head coach at Duquesne, was LeBron's coach at St. Vincent in Akron. Okay. Just as a background as to, I don't know, I'm sure that I'm sure that LeBron sent something out about it, because he usually does tweet something about him, because he does care about him. Let's get to the tournament. And some interesting matchups. And the irony is, you sit there and you take a long, hard look at some of these teams, and I keep saying, geez, I saw that team play. I saw that team play. I saw that team play. It's in the end, you're kind of like, oh, okay. You ended up seeing a lot of people over the course of the year. So there's no doubt UConn, and let's give credit where credit is due. UConn has just been terrific all season. Oh, did they lose three games? Sure. Right. I mean, of course. Everybody's in that category. When, you know. And, you know, that's what makes winning six games so difficult. And I go back to Dean Smith. So 1991 NCAA tournament in Syracuse, Carrier Dome. It's the first time I've ever crossed paths with Dean Smith. And so I had a chance to finally listen to him talk about what his philosophy happened to be. I mean, I'm a young guy at that point. Like, okay. And I'm listening to him, and he was talking about how do they approach the tournament. And he said, look, he says, I don't want to give, he says, the idea of, hey, let's talk about six games to win, because it's too daunting to think about it as six. And he says, we try to break it up into, all right, we always play these in-season conference tournaments. Like this year, for example, Penn State played in Charleston. Next year, they've got a tournament down in Florida. I'm not going to get into it beyond that. This time, it's going to be two games, all right? And he says, we try to tell them, look, let's win, in this case it was Syracuse, the Syracuse tournament, two games. So then the next stop, it turned out that particular year, was the Meadowlands. He said, now let's win the Meadowlands tournament. And I think the Final Four that year, I think, was Superdome maybe? And let's win the New Orleans tournament. Okay. And that's how he broke it down. That way they're not thinking in terms of six. They're thinking in terms of two. Let's win the weekend. Let's win the weekend. And That's how he viewed it. And that always stuck with me as to, you know, what they did to get ready for the tournament. That always stuck with me, that that is how he went about it. And I think that's the best way to look at it, because you look at UConn. Are they the best team going in? Oh, my goodness. There's no question they're the best team going in, but does it mean they'll win it? I mean, on my bracket, they'll end up winning it. But that doesn't mean they will. I mean, last year, no number one seeds got to the Final Four. I mean, UConn wasn't a one seed last year. And that's what makes it, you know, so intriguing. It's just tough to win six straight, especially against really good competition.
I think they're probably the one with the less questions about after the weekend, too, especially with that, what happened to Houston against Iowa State.
And again, that's the weakness of Houston on display right there. What did I say over the last couple of weeks about Houston? Defensively, they are a beautiful team to watch. Okay? Beautiful team to watch. No question. But what did I say that they have problems with? Each half, they go through extended periods of drought offensively, because they're a good offensive team, not a great offensive team. But they go through extended periods of a drought in each half. Now, it turned out that Saturday. Okay? They spent all night, not just in a drought, but in the desert.
Yeah. And, I mean, I know they lost to Wisconsin on Saturday, but, man, Purdue looks so good, but I just, you know, like everybody else, just questioning the last 2 years as an upper seed.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. Look, first of all, Smith played hurt, and Edie's the key to what they do, but he's the engine, Smith. Lawyer's not good enough to compensate for Smith. Lawyer is also a guy that you pick on, you know, like if you got the key matchup and he's guarding your guy, man, you go at him all day, all night, right? Because he struggles defensively. He's a heck of a shooter. I'm talking about Lawyer. Smith has become a really good player. Really good player. But he played banged up. There's also something else that happened in the Big Ten tournament that I did not like. And I saw it in the games when I was there, and then I saw it on TV. After a season where block charge was called correctly, for the most part, in my opinion, for some reason they started reverting to more offensive fouls. And then in the Purdue-Wisconsin game, there was one that was obviously, unquestionably an offensive foul when Zach Edey ran into Tyler Wall. Wall literally was there, not just like just barely got there, was there and waiting and got belted and got called for a foul. Like, whoa, wait a minute. There's the one guy that wasn't moving. For some reason, they called more offensive fouls in the Big Ten tournament than they did during the regular season. I was really stunned by that. And I'm talking like offensive fouls where a guy's flying in, barely, I mean, like the old way of doing it. Like, it made no sense. It made no sense to me watching it. And I was like, what the heck are they doing here? I was really surprised by that. Really surprised as to how they called it. And hopefully in the tournament, they don't call it like that. Because to be, and there was one, oh, what the heck game was it? It was, yeah, it was Wisconsin-Purdue. Chucky Hepburn flops, which is like always been his M.O. It's always been his M.O. I mean, and you know what the funny thing is? Todd, he doesn't have to do that. He's a good player. Chucky Hepburn's a good player. He doesn't need to do that. Well, I thought this would, like after this season. Well, he did it in the open floor. I think it was against Smith. Boom, plopped down. Offensive foul. Like, whoa, you can't let him do that. You can't let him flop. It's just stuff like that where I sat back and went, what are they doing here? You can't call the game like this, especially with the tournament coming up, because I don't think in the tournament it's going to be called that way. This is where the Big Ten gets hurt a little bit. You got to be careful about that stuff. And they reverted back to how the game was called last year, suddenly out of nowhere, because they didn't call the game like that this year. They called the game right this year. Okay, 90-plus percent of the block charges happen to be blocks. You just can't fly in and go, here I am. I'm sick and tired of people telling you, well, the rule is like, don't, okay, no. You got to be planted. Now it's a block charge. You can't move one way or the other. You can't fly in the last second. All right, guess what? Yeah, you're just gaming the system at that point when you do that. And when he flopped, he was gaming the system, and he got away with it. And officials need to be smarter than that when they're being played. Right? And they were being played. And these are good. Look, these are good guys. Like I talked to a lot of these guys before the game. I know they're trying to, but that made no sense to me seeing it called that way after not being called that way during the season. All right, we're going to run down all the games for you. Got a lot to do. What do we have guest-wise this week?
Right now, Chris Wheeler tomorrow at right when we come on the air, and then we move Matt to 135 and Neil Coulon, and then Joe Lunardi at the start of the show on Wednesday as well.
Matt's going to be on tomorrow?
135.
And who starts us tomorrow? It's Chris Wheeler. So Wheels will set this positive tone. And then we're going to go into mass depression?
Yes. And then Neil will bring us back, maybe.
I don't know. I think we'd need water from Lords to bring us back after the Matt segment. All right. We'll come back more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by NIL Game Changers.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.